David Renostali, Yeshiva High School for Boys, for the past 17 years. Prior to that, he was a Rebbe at Yeshiva University High School for Boys for 5 years. For the past 20 years, he has served as the Educational Director and Mashkiach of the NCSY Summer Kollel Program in Israel. He's a graduate and Musmach of Yeshiva University. His presentation is on inspiring our children, inspiring ourselves, the role of Torah study in Avodas Hashem.
Thank you very much, Joel. Before I begin, I have like some sheets here. It's really just my own notes. If you want, it's not going to be necessary to have these notes to follow. I made 30 copies. Hopefully, that was close to enough. The Navi in Sefer Shoftim tells an interesting story about the birth of Shimshon. The Navi relates how a malach, an angel, came to Eshes Manoach, and he gives her a whole bunch of instructions that you're going to have a child, and the child is going to be a Nazir, therefore you have to make sure not to drink any wine, and other instructions. Then we find that Eshes Manoach speaks to her husband, to Manoach, and says, you know what, this angel appeared to me, and the angel told me all these things. So Manoach says, he davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, I need the angel to come back and tell me, because I don't understand. You know, I don't understand exactly what the prophecy is. And the angel of Hashem comes back and appears to Manoach, and basically repeats to him everything that he said to Manoach's wife. So Rav Shimon Schwab was bothered by two questions. First of all, what exactly was Manoach praying for to see the angel again? He didn't trust his wife's version. And secondly, what exactly did the angel tell him that he hadn't already told his wife? So Rav Schwab has an incredibly original way of reading these psukim, and he understands that what Manoach was asking the angel, was asking the Ribbono Shel Olam through his prayer, he was asking, I don't understand. How in the world can we raise a child to be a Nazir if I am not obligated to be a Nazir? If I am not obligated to stay away from wine? There's no way. How am I supposed to raise a child in such a way if I'm not obligated that way? And therefore, that was his question to the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can it be? So I need the prophet to come back, the malach to come back. And when the malach, the angel, comes back a second time, the angel says to him the words, Mikol asher amarti el ha'isha tishamer. Now, tishamer is a very interesting word in Hebrew. Tishamer could mean he tishamer, she, but tishamer could also mean you tishamer. Rav Schwab understands that when the angel came back a second time, the angel was in fact telling Manoach an incredible chiddush and saying, exactly correct. I commanded your wife to make sure she shouldn't drink anything so that the child should learn, and from the child's birth, the child should understand that the child has to be a Nazir, not to drink wine, etc. I'm saying the same thing to you. If you want to raise a child who's going to be a Nazir, then you, Mr. Manoach, you have to make sure that you also will not drink any wine. You also will not come in contact with any Tamei Meis, anyone who's Tamei. And I want to begin by really giving a very special thank you to Rabbi Tarrigan and to Yeshiva Dakota for coordinating this really incredible conference, and to give everybody a tremendous Yasha Kochachem for coming out for this topic, which is so crucially important, and to thank all those parents and people who got involved in organizing. And just to tell you that obviously this topic, when I'm speaking about the topic of parenting and the best way to inspire our kids, a very difficult topic to speak about to a large different group of people, many whom I don't know, What I'm going to speak to you and the ideas that I'm going to humbly suggest to you don't apply across the board to everybody. Parenting is not the kind of thing that you can just give a one-size-fits-all. And I know different individuals might have individual stories that my words may not, you know, work. I'm just giving you my own experiences. Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam has blessed me with the past 22 years. All I've done 24 hours a day has been pretty much involved with education, with teaching mostly high school boys. I see in the crowd there are people who are grandparents, great-grandparents, and there are people who don't have children yet. So we're going to try to just learn together some ideas that hopefully, I'm just speaking in general, and hopefully if everybody walks out of here with one practical suggestion, hopefully then it will be worth the time. So tremendous thank you. So I'm really going to leave you today with three pieces of advice, my own personal three pieces of advice. I had the privilege of being in Boca Raton, Florida a couple of months ago. I listened to Rabbi Eli Mansour give a speech on the topic of raising children. And Baruch Shekivanti, the thing that I always tell parents, the three things I always tell parents, Rabbi Mansour said exactly the same thing. Three things. So at least I know, if you don't believe me, from at least believe Rabbi Mansour, who's a big Talmud Chacham, I'm just a guy who's been dealing with kids for a long time. These are my three pieces of advice. The first one is exactly what Schwab says over here. Dugma Ishit. To my mind, the sine qua non of parenting, and the first rule, if we want to inspire our children, that's exactly what the topic of my talk this morning is called, inspiring our children, inspiring ourselves. If we would like our children to live inspired lives, then the first thing that has to happen is we have to live inspired lives. If we, exactly as Rav Schwab said that the Malach was telling Manoach, if you want your child not to drink wine, then you absolutely cannot drink wine. Whatever you want to see in the child, parents have to take upon themselves. I see in the audience some people who are not yet parents. Becoming a parent should be a great excuse for a person, and being a teenager, when you go from being a teenager to a young adult to a parent, when you make that jump, it's a great excuse to take upon yourself certain extra things in your own Judaism, in your own Yiddishkeit, because now you're not just playing for yourself, you're playing for somebody else. You're not just living your life for your own Yiddishkeit, your own relationship, you're living for your children. Bez Hashem, there are people here, grandparents, great-grandparents, mechanchim, it's a kavod here to have here, Rabbi Schreier and Rabbi Rudansky, mechanchim, who are people who are involved in chinuch every day. If you want to see it in your children, in your grandchildren, it's a great excuse for you yourself to do it. Sons and daughters must see their parents doing that which their parents want for them. It's not enough even for a father. Again, most of my experience being with fathers and boys, I'm going to try to apply also to mothers and girls, although I know absolutely nothing about girls' education. Talk to my wife. If you need anything about girls' education, you can talk to my wife. But a child, if a parent wants a child to, let's say, have a positive attitude towards his Torah study in school, then the child must see the parent setting aside time to study Torah. And it's not enough that the child knows that dad goes to a shir, I believe. It's even more powerful if the child sees the father at home open up a sefer, if the daughter sees the mom at home involved either in learning or in mitzvos, whatever the mom is involved in doing, whatever the parents want to see in the children, it must be modeled. And I will say here that for some reason, children have an eagle eye when it comes to negative things that their parents do, and sometimes the things that parents do positively, children don't look as carefully. And what I sometimes see in my children, every little fault that I have, any little problem that I have, for some reason I see it multiplied by 100 in my kids. In other words, if I do something slightly that's a little bit questionable, somehow my kids pick up on it and they'll remind me of it like 20 times. So we have to be so extra specially sensitive. Those eagle eyes are watching us so carefully. We have to step up our game when it comes to our children. They are medaktik with us kichut hasara, as the Gemara says about tzaddikim. Our children are medaktik with us kichut hasara. Every little thing that we do, they multiply it. I actually, Rabbi Mansour spoke in our yeshiva a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to him about how much I enjoyed his drush in Florida when I was there, and he said, I have another little piece for you. And in Mamad Har Sinai, it says, B'chol ha'am roim et ha'kolos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created some kind of miracle that the people saw the sounds. So the question is, what does that mean, that they saw the sounds? You can't see sounds, you hear sounds. What does it mean, roim et ha'kolos? Rabbi Mansour suggests, I think it's his own idea. He said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Torah. He said, when you teach Torah, it's not enough that your kids hear the sound. They have to see it in you. Whatever you speak to them, it's not enough that they hear it from you. They have to see it in you. Ro'im et ha'kolos. That's what he said, that they have to see the sound. They have to see it in you. I once heard from Rabbi Beryl Wine. It says about Reuven that Ilu yada Reuven, that the Medrash, the Gemara says that had Reuven known that they were going to write about him by Yishma Reuven by Atzileum Yadam by Yomer Lona Kenu Nafesh. The story there where Reuven, you know, did his little part in trying to save Yosef, who was thrown away in the pit. So the Gemara says, had Reuven known that the Torah was going to write about him, that he was the one saving, he would have picked up Yosef on the shoulder and taken him straight to his father. Very, very strange Gemara. What? Reuven was into the PR of it? Like, had he known that the Torah was going to PR his act, he would have picked him up and taken him. But now that it wasn't going to be big PR, he wasn't going to do it. But they wind said a beautiful idea. Mm-hmm. What it means is that had he known that his act was going to be written in the Torah as the paradigm of what a brother is supposed to do to help out a brother, he would have done it in an exaggerated fashion. Because whenever you do something that you need to teach somebody, whenever you do something that you need to teach somebody, like if I would get up here and talk about parenting like this, in a very, you know, simple voice, and I would just stand up there and just talk, you wouldn't be so excited. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't be able to understand what I'm saying. You wouldn't be involved. You wouldn't be engaged. As it is, you're not going to be enough engaged in this, because when someone, no one gives an educator 30 minutes to speak about parenting or education, it's like, there's no way I can control it all better. Usually I should really do it interactive. I'm trying to give you a lot. But anyway, so Rabbi Wein said, had Reuven known that his act was going to be an act that was going to teach all generations of how a brother is supposed to be a brother, he would have done it in an exaggerated fashion. So as parents, we're always teaching. So we have to call exaggerated attention sometimes to those things that we'd like our kids to pick up on. We have to do it in a stronger fashion. It's not enough that our kids know that we are machshav Torah, that we care about. It's not that our kids know that we like to talk about chesed or talk about doom. It's not enough that our kids know that we can say divrei Torah about how you know you're supposed to treat others appropriately. Our kids are watching every little move of how we treat other people. Every little move of when the father gets up to make kiddush on Friday night, does he get up and do it with an excitement and with a zeal and with a respect and love for a mitzvah, for doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will? If a home is imbued with a positive sense and spirit for doing the mitzvot Hashem, for the study of Torah, if parents are excited about their Judaism, so the parents have to, and even though you are excited about it, you have to show it. A teacher has to show. It's not enough that they just know that you feel that way. They have to actually see it alive and see it exciting. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch wrote a couple of books about chinuch. And one of the books that he wrote was recently translated into English. I was reading a little bit over Shabbos. And he says there a line, all the divrei Torah in the world will not do one iota compared to a child seeing the excitement on a father's face when he makes kiddush Friday night at the table. All the divrei Torah, all the learning of Torah, will not do a kihuzet compared to a child watching the parents' excitement. Rabbi Fran likes to tell the story of where the parents at the Shabbat table are always talking about truth, and you have to be truthful, and you have to always tell the truth, and it's so important to tell the truth. And then, the father's in the middle doing something and the phone rings and the kid picks up the phone and then someone on the other end is saying, you know, I need to speak to your father. And the father says, tell him I'm not home. So the friend says, with that one line, which what he really meant to say is, tell him I'm busy, I can't talk to you now. When you tell the son, tell him I'm not home. So all the divrei Torah, all the mussar shmooze is about being honest. and about the importance of honesty, you throw the whole thing out the window with one line, tell him I'm not home. We have to be very, very careful about cynicism in the home in this regard. Very careful. You know, parent comes home from shul, oh my God, shul was so long today. Just something like that. Or oh my God, the rabbi's speech today was so bad or so horrible. When we speak about Judaism, even in a negative way, so a lot of times that message, the message, oh, shul is a place that's long, or shul is a place that the kid gets the wrong message. Rav Moshe Feinstein famously stated that one of the reasons why we lost so many Jews to Judaism in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, when, I'm not judging anyone, it was very, very difficult to earn a parnassa as an Orthodox Jew in America. Rav Moshe famously stated that when people would go to work and then they would get fired on a Friday because they refused to work on Shabbos, and then they would have to get a different job the next week, Monday to Friday, and they got fired the next Friday because they... So the father would come home and say, you know, Shver Tzayinayid, would say it's so difficult being Jewish. And Rav Moshe writes in one place that he thinks that part of the reason why so many people were turned off to Judaism in that generation was because even though people did take heroic stands on behalf of Yiddishkeit, and I'm not judging anybody who had a difficult time then, we live in a different time, but the attitude of Shver Tzayinayid, if it's difficult, that's something that we have to really stay away from. Any kind of negative that we feel, even if it's difficult, we have to always remember, especially when our children are around, but it's a great excuse to inspire ourselves. I heard in the name of Rav Pam and the Chazon Ish, they say something, and this is sort of related to point, this is all point number one. Whatever we want with our children, we have to model. The next point is really a nice segue between point number one and point number two. Point number two, which I think is my humble second suggestion of inspiring our kids in parenting, is that it's so important that parents maintain a positive, warm, open, cordial relationship with their children. And this is a lot easier said than done. In this context, I want to say something. Rav Pam and the Chazon Ish, both, I heard it in either name, I don't know who really said it, but they say that raising children is 50% shalom bayis and 50% tefillah. We'll get to tefillah in a few seconds, but certainly one of the important things, we're talking now about how a parent has to be a dugma, a role model for the child. Both parents play important roles in the raising of that child, and if a child is getting mixed messages from the two different parents. Then Sohar Gemara says, Einenu shomea b'koleinu. And the Gemara says, one opinion says that they have to have the same voice. So the Bali Musar understand that the same voice doesn't mean that the pitch of the same voice has to be the same voice. It's very hard to find a woman and a man who have the exact same pitch of voice. That's not what the Gemara means. But the Gemara means they have to have the same voice. They got to be on the same page. You can't go to mom and get one thing and get that other thing. Mom and dad have to work it out together and come to a common unified front. If the child is getting different messages from mom and dad, that's a recipe for disaster. How many times do we see, unfortunately, in yeshiva, my experience, where you have a kid, a boy, you know, or who comes from a broken home where mom and dad aren't on the same page, or we know that all kinds of issues in the home affect tremendously the child. So mom and dad have to make sure to be on the same page. This has to do with role modeling, but it also has to do with relationship. Oftentimes, and I see so many times where there's a rocky relationship between child and parent, so the chances that there's going to be a healthy relationship between the child and his God in heaven is going to be the same. Oftentimes, the same problem. If there's no relationship between, because the child hasn't learned how to have a relationship with his daddy, his real daddy, or his real mommy. If that relationship is compromised, then oftentimes it translates into difficulty in him really finding a great relationship with his Aviv Shabbat Shemayim. They are very much related. I believe that that's a little bit what the Gemara is hinting to when the Gemara speaks about Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam, that there are three partners in the creation of man. The Gemara talks about how mom and dad and the Rabbona Shalom are all partners in the creation of man. I think part of that, and the Ramban El HaTorah talks about this in Kibud Av Eim. He speaks about that the whole goal of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim, the whole goal of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim is to train the child that he should learn to have a karas atov to his parents of what they did for him, so he should also learn in turn to have a karas atov for Avinu Shebashamayim, what our, it should be a mashal on this earth for how we have to have thanks for this that our Father in Heaven did for us. And in this context, I know I'm running out of time. I think I started a little, I started 3 minutes late? I have an extra five? Okay, I have an extra five. Okay. I developed a custom. Baruch Hashem, Hashem blessed me with four sons and two daughters. I developed a custom with my sons that before their bar mitzvah, I took them to great rabbis. I saw it somewhere in the Sefer. I didn't do it because I saw it in the Sefer. It just sounded like a really nice idea for me. So I had a custom while he was still alive. One of the rabbis I took my son to was a rabbi named Rav Milchel Yehuda Lefkowitz, a rabbi in Bnei Brak, a very, very, very special rabbi. Sometimes you go to rabbi to give you 2 seconds. Rav Milchel, you will go inside. He'll sit down with the kid. He'll sit down with the parents. It was really a beautiful experience. He spoke to them, my son, my kids. Gained tremendously from this. And you don't have connections, you don't have to pay anything. It's like, you just go in and a great rabbi, this man taught a shiur until he was 95 years old, a high school. He taught a shiur in high school, a daily shiur in high school until he was 95. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda would say to the kid before his aretzah, he said to him, there's one mitzvah that I want you to be very careful about before it's one mitzvah. Some rabbis will tell you that. Still don't talk with your son. And he said, I want you to be very, very careful about the mitzvah of kibud av. You should be very careful about what you're doing. You tell the bar mitzvah boy. So I thought, you know, oh, of course, the father comes in with the kid, and he's like getting some points with the parents and the kid. Oh, tell the kids to be very careful about keeping it up. So I didn't know, like, what was supposed, why was that the mitzvah? Of all the mitzvahs, so he telling the bar mitzvah would be very careful about keeping it up.
Then I heard once a talk from my Rav Shor. I heard once he was talking about why nowadays there's such a yetzahara for kids about keeping it up. Amen. Nowadays, it's like one of the most difficult mitzvos for the kids to perform. And he says, you know, we're holding already by the Aschal, the Geula, or hoping for Mashiach any one of these days. And he says, the Satan understands that the whole key to Emuna, the whole key to the kids' Emuna connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the relationship between parent and child. Because who is the one to give over the Mesorah to the children more than the parents? Who is the one? So it's not. So the importance of the relationship between parent and child is not just important for the home, for the child, but it's because that's the conduit of the Mesorah. That's the way the Mesorah gets transmitted. That's the whole way, the way the parent plays such an important role. You know, and again, I'm not trying to push the buck here, but I would argue much more than the school does. The parent plays such a key, important, crucial role in transmitting the Mesorah. So if the relationship is not there, if the relationship is not open and warm and caring, then it can't flow. As the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Havemi tamidov shel Aaron, oiv shalom v'rodiv shalom, ohev et habrios u'makarvan latorah." The way kiruv latorah works is through a relationship. A child is not going to learn from a parent if there is no relationship there, if there is no warmth there, if there isn't care there, if the parent has other agendas aside from what's best for the child. Rav Volbe, who is a great educator, a master educator, wrote a book called Zriya u'Binyan b'Chinuch, Planting and Building in Education, a whole book about educational philosophy, about a parent has to know when you have to build, but in most cases it's not building. Building, you know, you take the hammer and you bang it and you stick it into place. Sometimes the parent has to know how to build, but most of the time, if you want the child to continue in that, it can't be the parent building, the parent has to learn how to plant. When you plant, you have an atmosphere, you water it, but then it grows by itself. You have to provide the atmosphere and the nourishment and the, you know, like my parents like to say to me, like, when it came to the don'ts, we were very clear with you, but when it came to the do's, we never pushed you. So there are certain things that you have to build. You have to say to the child, no, you can't go this far. This is not for you. This is dangerous for you. This is harmful for you. I believe also very strongly, especially nowadays. And I think when I was growing up, parents would more say, you know, why can't I do this, Mom? Because I said so and I know more than you. That was the way it was when I was growing up and probably certainly before. And I think nowadays, I think that doesn't work with a lot of the kids. I think we have to, again, I deal more with teenagers. It could be and I know nothing about educating girls, I also know almost nothing about educating smaller children, except that I had some of my own and I know what not to do. I can tell you from my own experience what not to do. But the relationship is key. So when it comes to the dues, so much more, it's much more important to provide planting, not to build, but to provide encouragement. You have to know how to say no, right? Now I remember what I got sidetracked. So with teenagers, like nowadays, for sure with teenagers, you have to explain the reasons for things. I believe. I try to do that very often. If I'm going to tell my son that I don't want him doing X, Y, and Z, I don't think this is a good idea, I think I'm going to explain to him, this is exactly why. The Rebbe Shlomo put me on this earth to try to inspire you and try to be, you know, to try to you know, provide you with the best education I possibly can. And I'm telling you, I'm just letting you know, this is going to be bad for you. Again, sometimes obviously you have to make compromises. I made many, many compromises about things and raising my own children that I thought I wouldn't allow, but I just saw that at the age that it was and where they were up to, that, you know what, I better just compromise. I want to win the battle. I'll lose the battle, but I want to win the war. And I think that giving him this leeway on this issue, even though when I grew up, I said there's no way I'm ever going to let my child do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, sometimes you have to, it's a big chachma. I don't have all the answers. And maybe, you know, you could find me, you could contact me afterwards. I don't want to use up the time now, but you could certainly talk to me afterwards. I have over here quoted on the sheets this. I got this off of Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz's website. Basically, they did loads and loads of studies about how kids stayed away from bad stuff. This is really a study about smoking and drinking and drugs and alcohol, things like that. And the study said that the families that spend more times a week eating dinner together, so the crazy, crazy statistics about how much prevented kids from doing bad stuff. Crazy numbers. Like a family that only had dinner together twice a week, like the kid was like three times more likely to smoke or to drink or to do drugs. Crazy statistics. But a family that had dinner together five times a week, so the statistics went down. It was like half the chances or three quarters of the chances. You have the numbers there in front of you. But again, this speaks to point number two that I want to share with you, and that is relationships. Number one is, if you want to see something in the child, you have to model it. So you have to inspire yourself. Number two is relationship. And in the interest of time, I think I have about 5 minutes left. So I just want to speak very, very briefly about the third one. Then maybe we could even have a minute or two for questions. But the third one, I really believe this very, very firmly and very, very strongly. The Gemara tells us so many places that especially things that are difficult, and parenting and raising children, educating children, inspiring them, is one of the most difficult jobs, if not the most difficult job, that the Rebbe Shlomo has tasked every parent with, to raise children in the right way. What a challenging job. And I believe very, very strongly that the third thing that a parent must do and has to do is to daven for this, is to daven for siyata d'shmaya. I will tell you that I put in my Shmon Esrei, in the middle of Shema Kaleinu, every single day, three times a day, a short prayer in English, where I list all my kids' names and I ask the Rebbe Shlomo for help in trying to give me the wisdom to make the right choices and to be the right kind of role model and to help them out. And I think diving for it accomplishes a whole bunch of things. First of all, obviously, we have many Mekoros and Chazal that, you know, things that you need help, you have to dive in for anything. You got to dive in for Parnasa, you got to dive in for Shiduchim, you got to dive in for health, you got to dive in for all the things that are important. So obviously, there's just the basic thing. I think there's an additional idea over here. And that is that when you daven for it, I think it helps your parenting also. Because I think one of the mistakes that parents make sometimes is, and I made this mistake mostly with my oldest child, I made this mistake. You know, again, it's the balance between zero being. I remember walking into shul and seeing my kid, you know, not davening next to me when he was, I think, like six or seven or something, and he didn't want to daven or something. And then I'm getting out of my kish, because here's my kid. I thought I was a pretty religious guy. I thought I was, you know, a pretty good role model for my kid, and he didn't want to do it. And it got me so angry and so frustrated and so upset to the extent that I would talk to him, or I would yell at him, or I would, you know, it's like, what? Come on, you know, didn't I send you to yeshiva? You know, you're supposed to come to shul and daven? But it's not so simple like that. And I think that when I davened for it, I realized that, you know, you're not totally in control of everything. And you can, and in parenting, I think it's very important for a parent to realize that despite all the things I said before, that you have to role model it and you have to have that relationship, but so much of it is beyond, you know, what we can do, and we need help. And I think that also helps you to have a more balanced and calm view of parenting, that you don't,
You don't think that because you have to realize you're going to do your best. You're going to try to create a positive atmosphere in the home. You're going to try to have a great relationship. You can do this. But at some point, the rest is up to their bonus sum. And it's like that with anything in life. But I think with parenting, we feel such an achrayus and such a responsibility that those kids, and we feel so low when that kid doesn't turn out the way we scripted it in our script, that we have to realize that's just a microcosm of life. Life doesn't turn out the way you expect life to, and the Ribono Shlom has such a big impact in it. And I think that helps you. I think that helps a person to be more calm. So, in sum, I'm going to close right now. And just in sum, parenting can be extremely difficult and extremely frustrating. When a person davens for it, you know you're not alone. And here's the other thing. I once heard this from Rabbi Moshe Weinberger in the neighborhood, and that's, to me, this is one of the most powerful statements. I think it's a powerful statement for educators and a powerful statement for parenting. I kept this with me for a very, very long time as an educator and as a parent. Rabbi Weinberger, a bunch of years ago, put out some parenting tapes. One of the things that he said, tapes, everybody remember what tapes were? But one of the things he said is that if the Ribono Shel placed this child in your family for you to raise, that means that you have the requisite abilities to parent that child. And as an educator, he said, if the Ribono Shel placed this child in your classroom or in your school, in your yeshiva, that means that he gave you the ability to deal with that child. To me, that was a tremendously chizuk-giving approach. Because if we believe in the Ribono Shel that he runs the world and he sets the world up in a certain way, that means if this child is born to your family, that means you have the ability to educate that child. That means the Ribono Shel thinks that you can do it. And it's a very difficult thing, and I think that's where the prayer aspect comes in. So just to summarize, in my opinion, there are three things that a parent can do. A parent has to model for the child what they want, and that means to model the attitude. That means two things. To model the details, the parent, child has to see the parent actually doing the mitzvos, and also the attitude, the excitement, not just the performance, but the whole attitude, the whole energy, the whole excitement. And you have to be very careful because the kids are watching very careful. Number two, it's creating that relationship so that the learning can happen. Even if you're the best role model in the world, if you don't have the relationship, if there's no relationship there, then the child is not going to look to you for the inspiration. You might be the best role model, but there's no connection. So item number two is connection. And item number three, I believe very strongly, is to pray for it. And hopefully the Ribono Shel Olam should answer all of our heartfelt tefillos. And by the fact that each of you decided to take time out on a beautiful Sunday morning, when you could all be out playing golf, but it's on a beautiful Sunday morning to actually come and to try to be mechazik ourselves together, and we should remind ourselves. I'm sure I didn't say one thing that was a chiddush to anybody, but just, and Mr. Sherman writes, those are the things that are the most important sometimes to go over, the things that we all already know. So hopefully, in the merit that everybody came out here, and the merit that everybody realizes that they think this is such an important and difficult and complex task, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give siyata d'shmaya nachas, great Hatzlacha and Ruchnias and Gashmias to all of our families, to all of our children, and may those children also who unfortunately are not connected to their parents now in Eretz Yisrael, may they very, very soon and quickly be connected to their parents, and all of Klai Yisrael should come back together back in Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes and here be Amen, Amen. Thank you very much.